Hey friends, welcome to episode 170 of the Fierce Calling Podcast. I'm Dara Swift, your host, and I am so thankful that you're joining us today. And this episode is going to be very impactful and powerful and encouraging. Have you ever needed a breakthrough? The way the world is right now, there is so much fear and anxiety. It keeps us from experiencing God's peace. So if you know someone, or maybe this is something you're struggling with yourself, seeking peace, maybe struggling with your faith, then this episode is for you. It's so much more than that, too. My guest this week is Kimberly Vaughn. She shares her story of a forgotten childhood due to trauma and the heartache of having a paranoid schizophrenic biological father. Her later struggles with irrational fears and panic attacks that shook her faith. But God. You're going to hear how Kimberly experienced a breakthrough. Friend, you're not going to want to miss this episode. But before we get into the episode, if you are looking for a speaker for your next women's event, I would love to have a chat with you. I'm currently booking for some 2024 available dates and into 2025. So let's have a chat. You can reach me at daraswift.com on my contact page, on my speaking page, and also at womenspeakers.com. Stay tuned for this episode. You are going to want to hear what Kimberly shares with us today. Friend, what threatens to steal your joy today? When the struggles of this world drain us dry and wring us out, our desert mentality becomes fertile ground for the enemy's lies to grow. We place our trust in what we see and feel instead of in the God we know and love. Surrender the Joy Stealers is a strategic 6-week Bible study rooted in John 15 that helps women rediscover the overflowing, ever-present Jesus joy within that fills them, empowers them, and ripens the fruit God produces in their lives. Using personal and biblical application, women will learn how to identify their joy stealers, surrender them to God, reawaken the joy within them, and share that joy with others. Pick up your copy today. It's perfect for individual or group study. You can find it on all the online retailers. Surrender the Joy Stealers. Rediscover the Jesus joy in you. It's time to take your joy back. Welcome back to the show. I'm excited today to welcome my guest, Kimberly Vaughn. She is a blog editor and co-leader for a mentoring group at The Connection. And The Connection is a cool community that loves to connect others with God and together, like women with God and each other. She's a wife and a homeschool mom of two. She has been involved in various aspects of ministry since graduating from Bible college 20 years ago, which is hard to believe because you don't look like you're even a little over 20 there, Kimberly. She has a passion to encourage and build up other women, especially those who are hurting and broken, which is just my heart as well. It is her desire for others to experience hope and transformation in Jesus through the words she writes and speaks. Welcome to the show, Kimberly. It's so great to have you on.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. And I find it funny when people think I look so young, but I just had my 43rd birthday yesterday. So,
Well, happy belated birthday. I've been excited to have you on. I love The Connection. I was blessed to be a speaker at one of your events a few years ago, which was really cool, an online event. And so you do a lot there, and you are also mentoring. You do have a mentoring program there, so you're a mentor. And I would love if you would share a little bit about your story, however the Lord leads, and how you're taking action where your passion, compassion, and conviction intersect.
Sure, yeah. Let's see. I'll just start by saying that for most of my life, well, growing up, like as a child and a young adult, I was very lonely, insecure, anxious. Like I can't remember a time that anxiety and worry weren't a part of my life. When people talk about, oh, I wish I could go back to my childhood when it was so carefree, I'm just Like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means. I like being an adult and having my independence. I had a fair amount of trauma in my childhood. Probably most significantly, my biological father was a paranoid schizophrenic. And it was a volatile home environment growing up. I honestly don't remember it, because my mom ended up divorcing my father when I was 5, and she had a restraining order put against him because it wasn't safe, you know? Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I've told people that for a lot of my life, I felt like there was an oppressive cloud of fear just hanging over me. I grew up knowing God, like knowing of him, knowing of Jesus, going to church. And I said a prayer as a little girl, but it was out of fear. It wasn't out of faith. And I just, you know, I knew the words, Jesus loves you, but I didn't believe Jesus loved me. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I ended up married and I ended up having my first child. And I went through a season that I've often referred to as the dark night of my soul. Mm-hmm. I think it was a combination of many things. It was a lot of toxic thinking, spiritual warfare, and just the buildup of anxiety and those postpartum hormones. I had irrational fears. So for months, I was wrestling and I was trying to hold on, and people were telling my husband I should be hospitalized because I was unstable. And I wrestled with my faith and I tried to apply everything I knew. You know, I was taking my thoughts captive. I was reading the word. I was repenting. I was praising God. I was praying. I was doing all these things. And one night, I was in my bed and my heart was racing and my mind was racing. And I remembered a sermon that I had heard in church that morning, which was on James 1:5. Mm-hmm. If you ask for wisdom, God will give it to you generously. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm laying there, I'm like, God, I don't understand. Like you and your word, they promise peace and I'm not experiencing peace. And I remembered that sermon and I said, okay, give me wisdom. What do I do with this anxiety? Mm-hmm. And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke into the chaos of my mind and he said, pray to be still. Like, okay. I was shocked because I had never heard God speak like that to me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, Lord, would you just please help me to be still? And immediately I had a physical, a mental, an emotional stillness I had never had in my life. And that's when I fell in love with God's wisdom. And I began to experience so much breakthrough because of, you know, what I found in his wisdom.
Mm. Wow. That is a powerful story that you're telling us right now, especially going back to the beginning when you were sharing how when you would hear people say, oh, I wish I could go back to my carefree childhood, and you didn't even know what that would even look like because you didn't experience that. I know that there's a listener out there. There's so many listeners who would be able to relate to that, because they had a volatile home that they grew up in. Maybe their parents fought a lot. Maybe there was abuse and you had a lot going on. And, you know, it really is the Lord bringing you through all of that with how you just heard him to just be still. But I like how you shared, though, earlier that you kept trying all the right things. Like things probably that people told you to do or suggested that you do, or you knew that you should do, like take your thoughts captive and, you know, all those things. And it must have been very frustrating to you, because you did share that you struggled with your faith that you were trying to do all the right things, but nothing seemed to be freeing you of what you were experiencing until, you know, you felt God just wanting you to be still and letting that go. So can you share again how that experience was, and then what happened after that?
Yeah, I mean, I was honestly shocked because, you know, I think some people, they just, for whatever reason, they can more easily hear God or perceive God. And some people will say, you know, I've tried, but he just doesn't, like, he doesn't answer me. He doesn't seem to be there. And I can relate to that because for so many years when I would try to seek God, it was like, okay, like, you know, where are you? And so what I would say to anybody that is personally struggling with that is, don't give up. Like, there's a purpose and a reason that God allows that. We don't, you know, there's mystery. We don't always understand. Even, you know, looking back, you're like, okay, you know, I can see some of why you did what you did, God, but I don't necessarily totally understand. And so anyways, I was very shocked and like, I just almost didn't know what to do. And then all of a sudden I got really excited because I thought, oh my gosh, like, this is real. God is, he's really there and he comes through. And it is interesting how sometimes it's like you're fighting to get breakthrough and you're fighting, you know, Jeremiah in the Bible talks about, well, God says in the book of Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And perhaps for me, you know, my whole heart wasn't in it at times when I wanted him to, like, you know, just fix things and then I'd be good. But at this particular time, you know, I was really searching for him with all my heart. And so, you know, every thought that I took captive and every prayer that I prayed and every song that he sang, it was like building up to a moment where God could break through.
Yeah.
And after that, I soon after was reading about Solomon and how God's like, ask me for whatever you want. And he says wisdom. I mean, that's kind of funny because if you think about our day and age and, you know, a king, they're going to probably not ask for wisdom, first of all. You know, there's a lot of other things that sound enticing. But as I was reading about Solomon, I just thought, that's what I want. I want wisdom more than anything else. And that's what I told God. And so a theme and a heartbeat of my life and my calling is God's wisdom and just believing that his wisdom is enough to lead us in every area of our lives, to lead us in healing and wholeness. Not to say he won't lead us to a counselor, right? Because he might, but he might not.
Yeah.
You know, and just submitting all of our thoughts and ideas to him. Because I think too often as believers, we are thinking, well, I know the word of God and we just assume that everything we think is exactly right. When instead we should be, God, can you give me wisdom for this? You know, do you want me to see a counselor? You know, and if so, who?
Yeah.
Or if it's ministry related, like, God, give me wisdom for this particular thing.
Yes. Yeah. I love too how you brought about the point again when we were talking earlier, when you were saying, you know, you were taking things captive, you know, your thoughts captive, and you were searching for peace to calm the fears and the things that were going on in your life. And I love that how you emphasize the fact that those things were not wasted, even though you didn't feel the breakthrough yet, that it wasn't a waste, that God saw of it. He knew all of it. And his word does not return back to him void, but it does take care of the purpose, you know, that he sent it out for. And so I like that you did bring that about in the conversation, that those things really were leading up to the point of where you had this breakthrough and you were still, because it was probably preparing your heart and renewing your mind all the way through until you got to the point where you felt the freedom come. And so I appreciate that you went back and did that, because I really feel like that was an important thing, because people might be seeking and thinking they're doing all the right things right now and not feeling the presence of God, not feeling like God is listening, that he's there, because we talk about and we even sing about being more aware of his presence. And sometimes if we don't feel that presence, we feel like God's far from us, but he's not far from us. So he was right there all along. And I wonder, so when you were going through all of that, was there any connection of fear about how things went with your dad? Were you feeling like that could have been something that was now plaguing your life?
Yeah, 100%. In high school, I began to have panic attacks, but I didn't know what they were. And I don't know, you know, for your listeners, how familiar they are with them, but some people, when they have a panic attack, they think they're having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And other people feel like they're losing touch with reality. And that was my experience with the latter, is I felt like I was losing my mind. And around the same time that was happening, I had a psychology class in high school, and we watched a video about paranoid schizophrenics, and they were the worst case scenarios, like people that were institutionalized. Mm-hmm. And so, and back in the 90s, you know, we thought your brain is just can't change, you know, and then we learned, yeah, it can change. You have power over what your brain looks like based on what you're doing with your thoughts and your life. So I did have a very big fear of becoming like my father, and kind of a hopeless sort of a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was kind of like something maybe the enemy was trying to whisper to you. Like, this is going to be your story too, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. For years, that was a whisper in my head. And I thought, I just need to keep from falling apart. I need to not let anyone know that I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of lies there. And even still today, God has healed me. You know, 14 years ago is when God broke through and answered my prayers for wisdom and said, be still. And I've experienced so much healing and so much breakthrough, but there's still so much more. There's still things that I pray for, and I wonder, God, why haven't I gotten past this yet? Mm-hmm. You know, why haven't I overcome this yet? And again, God's ways are mysterious. And, you know, so some of it's that, you know, we go through ups and downs in our faith where, you know, there's times where we're humble and there's times where we let pride get the best of us. Mm-hmm. And so we can hinder our own healing process.
Yes.
If we're not cooperating with God and we're not choosing his path.
Yes. Yeah. And I really think what you just said was such a key thing, because you feel like there's still things you're kind of struggling with. And I think that healing comes because sometimes it's not the timing. Like, maybe something in your life has to happen first, and then we feel like everything should be all fixed all at once. That's the way we would want to see it. But God sometimes uses in his timing the healing to come, because there's more to come in our stories. Or sometimes we feel like, even say if we're going to write a book or something, you know, and it's like, oh, I was going to write this book 2 years ago, but then it didn't happen because I didn't realize that I still first needed to go through these other experiences before I could really start and write it down to help other people find healing through what God has done, you know, in my life kind of thing. So I think that's really important. And I'm thankful that you are very open and honest to share those things, because, you know, sometimes we can face things as Christians, you know, as followers of Jesus, and some people might look at us and think that if we don't have it all together, that there's something wrong in our spiritual life, you know, and there's some really bad theology out there, you know, that can really set people back. Have you found that too?
Yeah. I mean, I think when God broke through in that moment for me, I was kind of naive, you know, and I thought, great, it's going to be smooth sailing from here. And, you know, I would say at that stage, I was kind of like a baby Christian, because although, you know, I had, you know, received Jesus into my life at a young age, and, you know, I had history. I'd gone to Bible college. I knew a lot just from Bible college. But it was like I was really fresh in my experience with God and knowing what he could do. And I thought, well, he did this, and therefore, you know, it's just going to be so great. And the reality is there's still a lot of things in us, I mean, until the day we die, that need to be healed. So, and I mean, it's hard to say exactly what God's doing, but I think a lot of times God's using it to keep us humble and dependent upon him. And so what you said about the timing is huge. But yeah, I mean, I can be hard on myself. Like, you should be farther along by now. Other people can be hard, like, on us. Why are you like that? You know, but I think we need to learn to have compassion and humility for ourselves and other people in the process.
Yeah. I love that you talked about being humble, that it will keep us humble, because that's so important. Because even sometimes our own pridefulness can rise up and we don't even realize what it is. Like, I've often shared that, you know, I went through a part of my life where I realized that I was kind of prideful about certain things, and I never considered myself a prideful person, but it doesn't always look like what we think it would look like. And so keeping us humble and leaning on him and knowing that we can't do it on our own, that we need him. We can't even breathe on our own without, you know, God in our life and God's help. And so I love that you talked about that, because we do have that dependence. And you're right, we're being sanctified day by day, and we have so much more growth to experience. And that breakthrough, your child was really young when that happened, right? So can you talk about then what was it like for your husband? Like, how did you share that with him?
So, how did I share my breakthrough, or how did I share? Yeah, that, you know, I honestly don't remember. What I can say is that what I went through, that dark night of my soul, was very hard, and not only on me, but on him. And it was a very tense time. And I think that when that happened and he saw, you know, the change in me, and not just from, you know, the dark night of the soul experience after I had my child, but we didn't have the honeymoon period in our marriage. We fought a lot. And after that experience, it's like any time that we had conflict in our marriage, I would just go up to my room and start praying. And I remember him sharing at one point with a friend, like, yeah, well, as soon as she goes upstairs, I know she's praying. And it's like, it convicted him. So, you know, there was a lot of changes in our marriage that happened as a result of me learning, like, hey, God has the answers and I'm going to go to him. Mm-hmm. And so I think for him, he just saw what God did and that impacted him and it impacted our marriage.
Yeah, that's really a beautiful thing. You know, how it all, it's like a ripple effect. And, you know, we oftentimes think about the transformation that we experience, which we become a new creation and we experience transformation when we meet Jesus. We accept Jesus as our Savior. And then, you know, that is a transformative event in our life. But then there are other transformations that we experience, like maybe something that we're healed of, a breakthrough that you've experienced. So as you are sharing it, it was a change that he could see that was tangible. Yeah. And I love that because what you experienced was tangible. Like God was like right there and you knew without a doubt it was him. And that's something that is so special. You know, when we know, well, this was you, God. This was you. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I loved earlier too, this is backtracking it a little bit, but how you were saying that we can be prideful and we don't even know it. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of a blog that I wrote that you and I actually talked about before the show, called Are You Deceived? And the definition of deception, by definition, you don't really know when you're deceived. You know, it's like that with pride. You know, you don't realize that you're prideful, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important to constantly go back to God for that wisdom and to be teachable and to not think that our perspective, our first thought and our first perspective are always right.
Mm. Yeah, that is so true. And you were talking earlier about wisdom when you were reading about Solomon. And then it reminds me also the book of James, because I love that book. And, you know, how the word tells us that we can ask for wisdom. And when we ask, that God will give it to us liberally. You know, he will give us the wisdom that we ask for. So I think that's beautiful. And I love that reminder that God tells us these things more than once in his word. You know, he tells us a lot of things in his word more than once. And we sometimes think, wow, he said that again. Here it is again. And sometimes it's again in the same, like within the same chapter. You know, he's saying something like so many times, you know, to really get that point across as his children. Because I think about how parents have to tell their children things over and over again, you know, sometimes. So it's confirmation and it's an affirmation. And I love that so much. And I appreciate you bringing up that post about the deception, because I feel like that is something that we really need to stand up and reveal, because it's happening in not only the secular world, but in the Christian world. There are so many false beliefs or teachings out there, you know, and as the word says, they are like wolves in sheep's clothing. People follow things that sound good. And we have to be careful too, because sometimes when things sound good, it could really trip us up. We have to know the word to know when it's not the word, you know? And so maybe it's just a half truth. Maybe it's not a complete lie, but it's a half truth, which then it's not true at all. So I really appreciate that, you know, there's different belief systems and some of the, you know, very well-known teachers and speakers may present something that doesn't necessarily line up with biblical truth, but people will believe it because they trust the person that they're hearing it from, when we really need to look to God for all of our answers and truth in his word and see if it lines up. So I appreciate you sharing that about your article, because it was a really good article. Was there anything else in there that you would want to share with the listener, or things that you find that would be helpful for someone listening?
I mean, I think the thing that I think about, you know, when we're talking, I probably haven't been super succinct in answering, you know, where our passion and our compassion and our conviction intertwine for our calling is my heart grieves so much when, and I've had so many conversations with the Lord about, you know, big name people that you see out there that fall into error. And I think, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. And I pray for their eyes to be opened. And, you know, even in our local churches, the people in our churches, maybe even our leaders or our denominations that we prefer, like, nobody's perfect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I emphasize in that blog, is none of us have like it all figured out. None mm-hmm. of us have perfect theology. Mm-hmm. None of us have a perfect worldview. We're all going to, pride's going to get in the way. Mm-hmm. Failing to actually obey the word, knowing it, but not obeying it can mm-hmm. cause you to become deceived. There's so many things. And I just think it's so important for the unity of the body, and also so we can thrive. We can really do great things. We can have healing and wholeness, is to constantly ask for wisdom. And I can't remember all the points that I made, but I think the thing that I just really feel passionate to drive home is that we need to be teachable, because we don't have it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
We might have, you know, a whole theological list or, I don't know, profession that we could make, but really the Word of God and the Holy Spirit need to be the two things that we cling to and that we rely upon and that we stand upon. Mm-hmm. And we need to allow Him to teach us.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up, because we were talking about it before we began recording. And I was going to bring it up too, if you didn't, because we were talking about that and how you said we need to remain teachable and we need to remain humble and we need to be open, because, you know, when someone falls into error, we have to be open if someone might challenge it, and we want to consider the source. Like, if someone challenges something that someone says, you know, is it a source that it is it kind of somebody that we can trust to, you know, look at us because they love us and they want to share something with us for our good and God's glory? Is it criticism or is it constructive, you know, and kind of look at it that way? But I think you're right about teachable, because sometimes when people might be teaching something that doesn't necessarily line up with scripture, then if someone points it out or brings it to light, that they would be humble enough to check it back with the word. But like you said, when we all pray for each other, if there's anyone that's fallen into error, you know, that their eyes would be open, because mm-hmm. sometimes the enemy will blind people with, you know, the scales on their eyes, and they need to really see the truth. And, but like you said, nobody's theology is perfect, and some things are open for interpretation, the way the word says certain things or the translations and things like that. We cross denominations, there might be some things that we may disagree with, but as long as we keep the main thing, you know, who Jesus is. And that is a question that I always love to ask people when I have faith conversations, is like, who is Jesus to you? Who do you believe Jesus is? And that really tells a lot. So how have you found those faith conversations to be when you've talked with people as you mentor them, Kimberly?
I got into mentoring 8 years ago. A family from my church approached me and asked if I would mentor their eighth grade daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She was going into a leadership program at a local Christian camp, and I loved the family, and so I was like, sure, yeah, I'll do that. And so we went 5 years till she graduated, and we still meet even to this day. So we've been meeting for 8 years. It's a lot different mentoring an eighth grader than it is now a young adult. Mm-hmm. So that looks a little bit different. But I've also mentored another young adult, And I've mentored two women that are my mom's age, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mentoring younger women is a lot different than mentoring, you know, someone my mom's age.
Mm-hmm.
And with the younger women, I love it so much. The two that I have mentored have been pretty mature for their age in their faith, and yet very teachable, and just a joy. So a lot of our conversations and mentoring have been very organic, just talking about life and them asking for wisdom and just working out, you know, how do I handle this situation or this challenge that I'm going through? And yeah, and the older women, it's a lot harder because I feel like, who am I to mentor you? But there's always something that I have to give that they don't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that too, because mentoring the mentor and the mentee and the mentoree, or however you would say that, but yep. Oftentimes it works both ways. You know, we learn from each other, and yeah, it's true. There are people of different ages, because it doesn't necessarily mean that someone that maybe is older in years has walked with the Lord for a long time. They might have just really met the Lord personally for the first time, you know, in recent years. And so, you know, but then you have the whole thing about the culture and how people are raised and where they grew up and, you know, how things have changed. And yeah, it is a lot different from different perspectives. And I know too, if, you know, when you're raised in a certain denomination or believe a certain thing for a long time, you know, sometimes it's hard to like look at it in a different light or a different way. So yeah, but I love that you're a mentor. I think that's so important. And I love those programs, because I think especially when, you know, older women mentor younger women, but then thinking about, like you were saying, it can work in reverse as well. So I think we have a lot to share with each other and however the Lord leads, because he puts people together for a purpose and a plan and a reason. So I think that's fantastic. And especially having the opportunity to speak into the younger generation, because this world is so, I mean, I know the world's always had so much stuff, you know, that comes at you. But nowadays, I mean, kids are dealing with all this other extra stuff, like all this social media and, you know, things that used to take a while to get around, like school, now is like instantaneous around like the world, because it's just all out there. So, and it's hard, and they have access to things that maybe like I wouldn't have had access to when I was their age, you know, so there's a lot to consider. And so it's hard sometimes.
I have a 12 and a 14 year old. And so I've told people that I often feel like I'm swimming upstream, even with other Christian families. And so, you know, I think of like, especially the one girl that I've mentored for 8 years. And I think, you know, wow, like I see what my kids are up against, and I'm like, I want my kids to have mentors mm-hmm. that pour into them for years, because the world that we are in is so, there's a lot there. I mean, there is a lot of deception. There's a lot of culture that has infiltrated so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can be very confusing for a young person, you know, and we consider that students, especially in their teens, their mind isn't even fully developed yet. You know, the portion of their mind that is a decision-making area of the brain, you know, that does that. But I also, going back to what you said earlier, I think it is very important. You made a point that that our brain pathways can change based on our thoughts. And I love that book and the study and in the different teachings of Dr. Caroline Leaf, when she talks about that, it just brings hope to people, because sometimes people feel like hope is lost. And it's like, no, No, it isn't. It's just, it's fascinating that our thoughts can physically change pathways in our brain.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's another one of my passions, is to give hope that that we can heal. We can find wholeness. Like, science backs up faith, you know?
Yeah.
And when I write and when I mentor, like, those are things I'm trying to do, is offer that hope and challenge people to seek God's wisdom for that hope that we have.
Yeah. And I love the encouragement too, that you share, and even through your story, how others can glean from your story, knowing that this doesn't have to be my story. You know, sometimes people feel like they're caught in a, like in a cycle that needs to be broken. Maybe it's a generational cycle or a generational curse. You know, it's something that they feel like they can't overcome it because it's just who they are, or it's just, this is the best I'll ever be, or, you know, there's not really any hope for me. You know, there's so many downward spiral thoughts that are very toxic. And I love your story and how you can share encouragement and how you mentor other people in the importance of right thinking and the hope that you bring. Is there any final thing that you feel led that you would want to encourage the listener with right now?
I think that the thing I would want to say is God has so much more for us. He has so much more for us, but we miss it because we're trying to do things our own way with our own reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps we're failing to obey him in a way that would bring us blessing. I think in our culture, it's rare to find mentors. It's rare to for believers to show hospitality, like opening their doors and saying, come in. And yet I believe it's God's design for us to invest in each other and come alongside of each other. And when I have mentored, especially the younger generation, I have received so much joy and fulfillment. I can't emphasize it enough. And I can tell you that there have been times, you know, I'm a homeschool mom and I'm an introvert, so I like quiet, but my house is not quiet and my life is not quiet. And I would be in my car driving to meet one of my mentees and thinking, I don't have anything to give. I'm exhausted. I'm like dreading it because of how I feel. But once I get there, by the time I leave, I'm so encouraged and I'm so filled up as an introvert, you know, meeting with people, because God designed us to pour into each other. And maybe a part of what we're missing in our life is that we're not doing what we've been called to do.
Wow. That is a golden nugget of truth right there. That is really, really good. And I think it's going to encourage a lot of people today, because that's true. When you're walking in what God's calling is for our lives, it's like we know it's fulfilling and it's refreshing. And it's kind of like our wheelhouse. You know, it's like we're walking in the design. We're walking what it is that he's calling us to do. And how you shared, even on your way to go doing something, that you might even feel tired, or, you know, because course you're a mom and there's a lot going on in your home and all of that, but afterward you feel so filled up and fulfilled. And so I think that is really special, because it's like it's just confirmation when we know we're doing what we were called to do, but also operating in our gifts, because we've all been given gifts, and, you know, and so for using them to further the kingdom and to glorify God and to impact the world for Christ is so important. And I know that you're doing that. So that is amazing. So if you could share how the listener can connect with you and maybe find the things that you've written and maybe get involved in the connection, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you go to connectingwomenwithgod.com, you can search my name and you'll find all the blogs that I've written. And I have an Instagram page. I don't know if you can link that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can put that in the show notes.
But those are the two main ways that people can connect with me. And I really appreciate you letting me come on and share.
Thank you. It's been a great conversation, and I've been greatly encouraged by it, and I really enjoyed having you on the show, and I would love to have you back on again sometime.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. Well, I will put those things in the show notes, as I said, and this way the listener can connect with you and check out the connection and find out more there and all the resources that are available. And so thank you so much, Kimberly. And just I'm looking forward to what the words that God led you to share are going to do in the hearts of those who are listening. So thank you so much. God bless you. And we'll talk soon, friend. Thank you for listening today. I really enjoyed the conversation that I had with Kimberly. I thought she really shared so many great points, especially where she emphasized how important it is to ask for wisdom and to seek wisdom. And it's so biblical. God tells us in His Word that we can ask for wisdom, and when we do, He will give it to us because we need wisdom in every facet of our lives. We need to make wise choices, wise decisions. So it's just wise overall to ask for wisdom. So remember to do that. And I'm sure you had so many other great takeaways from what we were talking about and what she had shared. Her story is very powerful, and I hope it encouraged you today. If it did, I would love if you would share the show with others who you feel would be blessed by it. And if you would like to connect, I will put all the links in the show notes where you can connect with Kimberly. So I really appreciate if you would do that. And I would also appreciate if you enjoy listening to Fierce Calling, if you would rate and share the show and review the show. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, and you can also find the show on my website where you can also look at some of the other free resources that I have available. So friend, I really, really enjoyed this, and I hope you'll join me next time when I talk with another woman who's taking action where her passion, compassion, and conviction intersect. Until then, friend, have a blessed week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode that is part of the Spark Media Network that can now be heard on the Edify app.